This podcast is a panel of the Self-Published Writer Workshop held by the NorCal Chapter of Mystery Writers of America on January 27th, 2018. This is the panel on cover art, with Nick Mamatis moderating, and Steve Hawkinsmith, Maddie James, and Bette Golden Lamb.
Here I am, talking slow. Request from the audience, talk slow. And we're at the cover art panel now. And most of us have been introduced at least once, maybe even more than once. So we're going to have really short self-introductions. So you remember me from an hour ago, right? I'll tell you one more thing about me. Yeah, it's me. At my day job, I also am responsible as an editor for conceptualizing covers, and I won a Communication Arts Prize for best cover last year, which is really easy if you have enough money. Because all I do is spend $3,000 to buy a painting from Yuko Shimizu and then tell the designer to do whatever you want with it, and that's all I had to do. But today we'll talk about making your cover inexpensively, is my goal. Bette?
I actually am an artist, three-dimensional artist, and a writer, and a nurse, and I need everything to keep me out of trouble. So I don't know what to tell you other than I write and do artwork, and the little gnome sits in the room and does it. That's it.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm Steve. I'm the guy in glasses who speaks not quite so quickly. I write books, and some of them now I am self-publishing, which is why I'm here to talk to you guys today. Did I do my own covers? In terms of being a graphic artist?
Are you biting my questions?
Hi, I'm Maddie James. I actually do website design for authors, so I'm all around authors all the time, and I do cover design as well, but I actually, my kind of thing on this panel, since I'm not a writer, will be to give you tips. I have lots of tips if you want to do your own, so that's kind of what will be.
Oh, so sorry, is that better?
So I do websites for authors, I also do covers for authors, but my goal of being up here today will be to give you guys the best tips that I have for doing your own covers, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, just remember, these are like ice cream cones. You want it right by the mouth. That's how it works. So we'll start with Maddie, since she wasn't on a panel before. Give us your top three tips, the three things we have to walk out of here knowing about cover art and design.
Top three. All right. Look at it small. After you design it or when you're designing it, remember that it's going to look tiny on a buy site like Amazon. So always look at it at like 150 pixels wide, no joke. So that would be probably my biggest tip. Gosh, there's so many tips. Obviously, you only want to use copyright-free images, so make sure you're doing that. I've had clients get in trouble, and you don't want to have to redo your...
What kind of trouble? Like pay-up trouble or stop that trouble?
Pay-up trouble, yeah. So can you guys hear me okay? This sounds really weird to me. Okay. I can give you like specifics about size and all sorts of imagery kind of stuff and colors and everything, but the other, I think, big tip I would say is to avoid a white background. I can't tell you how many people want white. They want me to do a white background, and I'm like, why? It blends right into the background of the buy site, so that would probably be another really big one. And then, okay, one more, sorry. It's like 3.5. Really good, clear, strong font and contrasting colors. I'll stop there.
And how many fonts should one use on a cover, Maddie?
I would not use more than two.
Good, okay. So, Steve, you heard those three tips. Let's look at your cover here. Naughty.
Oh, no, this is the part I was dreading.
Did you follow tip number one?
I hope so. I mean, my one comment was going to be everything she said was right. We're off to a great start there. Yes, I'm terrified that you're going to turn around and see my covers and just say, no. What knowledge do I have to drop? Should I show some examples of bad stuff or should I save that for later?
You mean those aren't those? Sure, let's look at a couple bad ones.
worse stuff, maybe I should put it. So just a quick little background. Those are the first two self-published things that I did. They're both short story collections. And the one that's called Naughty, I put out, oh gosh, maybe it was 5 years ago, since 6 years ago. It was a fairly long time ago in e-publishing terms. And I come out of the magazine world, and so I know a lot of designers, and I thought, stupidly, I'll just have one of my buddies do this for $50 and a beer, which is why I ended up with this, which probably is just mud to everybody out there. It's Santa Claus in a lineup. And I think the concept is stellar. The execution is not stellar, which is why eventually I paid the money, more than $50 in a beer, to have that done. And we can talk later about sort of my whole process of how you move beyond getting a buddy to do a cover for you for $50 in a beer to getting a professional job done. And I'll quickly just run over the other book up there, Dear Mr. Holmes, which is part of a series. But at the time, I didn't own the rights to any of the other books. They're still with the original publisher. But I owned this because these were all short stories rather than novels. And so I had a designer do that cover, which probably is also a little bit of mud. Very Photoshop-y. I don't think it's terrible, but it doesn't pop. It doesn't really at all pass that. But I don't know if I want that one on the wall. I don't know if it passes the see it small test, because it's just some objects. It was very hard to get across the concept of the series. This designer that I ended up going back to because I got some of the rights to my other books back and I wanted to put those out myself with a consistent look for the series, that designer got it and found a way to communicate it in a way that I think does work small. And she didn't do it for $50 and a beer.
How much did she do it for? No secrets here. We're this information time. No.
The question was, how much did she do it for? I seriously don't exactly remember, but it's in the neighborhood of $300, $350.
Oh, that's not bad.
Very reasonable.
Yeah, it's very reasonable.
Okay.
So, Bet, as an artist, when you so you have three versions of one of your books here, can you lead us through them, your conceptions?
The first one, usually I work with somebody. I pick the
image. Can you hold this up like this?
I pick the image, and the graphics are done by somebody that I work with. And the first one here, Bone of Contention, all I was doing was fighting with her. So you can see why the image was there. It was not a good image to match the book. And so...
So we're talking about the white one on the left.
The left. Speaking of a white background. And the second one was one that I felt more comfortable with, but I still didn't like it. Did not have enough contrast. And the third one, finally, was what we decided on, because most of our books are branded by this kind of lead light in the within the cover. And it seems to work, and they were all bone something in the title. So the last one, which is our latest book, our seventh book, is Bone Slice. And that one we really liked, because it discusses, right on the cover, it tells about robotics, which is what it's about. I don't pay anything. Well, very little, because the graphics are done by Sue Trowbridge, who's excellent, and she's so fast. I mean, she's terrific. And I can't even discuss a price. It's so little. I mean, nothing like $300, maybe $50, and that's an exaggeration.
And not even a beer.
No.
Not even a beer.
No, I think it's less.
And where, beer, so you really should have a beer.
That's right, yeah.
And where do you find these images, generally speaking?
I go to dreamstime.com. It's excellent. Even if you're going to have someone else do your covers, I would go to Dreamstime. Because you can get an idea of the different images that are out there and maybe learn to be realistic about what you want. I think most writers, they think about their story and they want a little bit here and a little piece there of their story. And as Maddie said, You've got a thumb-sized picture up there, so it has to be something that's startling and that will capture somebody's attention, even though it's this small.
What are the questions here? What's up?
Betty.
Is that your question? Have I said that?
The second cover from the left that appears from this perspective to be very muted.
It all blends together.
Yeah. What was your reaction to the second cover, and then maybe Maddie might offer your
Are you talking about the yellow on black, or is the second?
The blue on blue.
Oh, the blue on blue.
Yeah.
Okay, go for it, Beth.
Well, we didn't like it because it seemed to blend, just as you're saying. It just didn't stand out. When it came down to a thumb size, it was all right, but it wasn't anything that would capture your attention. The third one we liked very much. We always use the EKG rhythm strip. That's part of the branding for the whole series, because they're medical thrillers.
Right.
And so that does help. And for people who are searching for medical thrillers, that's sort of a sign right there.
What's a sign?
The EKG.
The EKG.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just going to say, I mean, definitely the lack of contrast is the problem with it. You want to have colors that are contrasted. And look at your color wheel. Do the opposite colors on each side, and those are colors that really stand out against each other and look really good together. The other thing I would love to say is one of the things I love in a book cover is when the graphic that you use, whatever graphic you use, blends.
Lori's waving to me back there. One of the things I love in a book cover, I'm just going to say this, another simple little thing, and I really have a lot of really kind of fun things that you could do to make your cover look more professional, but one of those is to mix that one, at least like one letter or something of your cover into whatever the imagery is. So, for example, if, you know, I'm pulling this out of the blue, a woman has a ribbon around her, you know, there's a picture of a woman and she has a ribbon in her hair or something. A curl of the ribbon could go over the end of the E or something like that. It just draws everything together so nothing is floaty. So that was one of the things I like about the cover that Bette ended up with, is that there's something underneath the O. It just brings it together a little bit so that it's not, you know, the title and the image.
I saw two hands go up. We'll take those and then we'll go back to talking. So we'll go here first, then there.
Second, what Beth said about Sue Trowbridge, she's done some of my covers. One of the things that that is kind of a thing for me is I would really like my cover to have something to do with what's in the book. And I think that was a problem with my covers on my traditionally published books, is they were all over the map. I'd look at cover images and go, okay, where did that come from? And for one of my books, I told my editor at Fawcett, I really would like to have something that says this is what the book is about. Is that important for you, Maddie, looking at covers? Does what's inside the book really need to be on the cover?
I think the important part of that is that when someone looks at your cover, they should immediately know what genre you write in. So if it's a romance, it should be romantic looking. If it's a mystery, it should have a little bit of thrillerish mystery to it. So that, I do think that the imagery, yes, you want your imagery to have something to do with your book, but the more important thing is the genre so that you know what kind of book you're getting, and that can be done through font as well. But when you said, what was the thing you said right before that? I saw a cover done by a professional publisher just yesterday. My client sent me her cover, and the image was a picture of a window with snow falling and a little rocking horse and a teddy bear in the window. It wasn't set in the winter, and it didn't have anything to do with the child. Why? So, yes. Come on.
So just to continue that, what you learn when you get a job in publishing is that what they tell you, and this may be true or not, but the common wisdom is this. It doesn't matter what's in the book. It's not an illustration of the content of the book. A cover is an advertisement for the type of book it is. So because the cover works on two levels. One, it tells readers, this book is not going to have a ton of horrifying murders in it because it has like a cat on the cover and a cup of coffee. It also tells the bookseller, where did this go? Because they can look it up, but they have, you know, four or five pallets of books are put out every Tuesday, and they're going to go, oh, I get it, I get it, I get it. And we spent a lot of time thinking about things like titles and covers. You know, back in my first job in New York, we had a book called The Battle of Seattle about that big protest in 1999. And we had to make the word Seattle small, because otherwise booksellers might think, is this a regional title? Should we not stock this title because we're not in Seattle? And these are the choices that come up. So it may seem inexplicable if you happen to have a traditional publisher or a royalty publisher making the decision, but the decisions they're making are based on that your book is one of five books of their type they're putting out this month, and so they're all going to have fucking cats on them. Yeah. Yes.
Then there's the headless woman trend.
That's right, headless woman in shoes, because then the woman who's buying it is the head. It's like, oh, that's me. That's my head. I can put my head there. Yeah, exactly, yeah. So we had a question over here.
So what do you get paid? Oh, this is a hard one. No, my cover design starts at $200. So it goes up from there. Usually it's around $200 to $300. But I will tell you that most, like, quote-unquote professional book designers, some of which are on the handout that you have, they're normally in the $500 to $700 range, and you're getting beautiful stuff. So I do partly feel like you get what you pay for. Not for everybody, but I think somewhere between $200 and $700 is probably a reasonable amount to pay.
And does that fee include sourcing art, or they bring art to you?
You know, I almost always use Dreamtime or Shutterstock. Shutterstock's my favorite. I think they have a better variety. And it's $10. No matter, you can get a hugely wonderful high resolution image for $10. So I don't really usually worry about that.
And
just in a quick nutshell, I almost always, both for my sites and for my cover, I ask the client to pick the image. And for one thing, you know, you've written your book. You know what your book is about. And I don't want to pick a rocking horse in the window when your book is about serial killers. So you normally pick the image. Some of my clients are like, I can't do it. I can't pick an image. Then I have them give me a list of words and feels. Because again, like Nick said, the feel of your book, so important. Now, ask one of them a question.
Well, I'm going to mention something about stock as well. I have some photos here from my day job of covers. And even in commercial publishing, we do the same exact thing. This one, Goth by Otsuichi, is two photos from iStock. The face was the result of typing in Japanese woman. And we have four or five pages of Japanese women. We picked ones whose eyes we like. She seems terrified there. She's actually quite happy. so we cut out her mouth to make her look terrified. It's the same. And then we typed in Winter Branch to get these branches, and we just superimposed them. We drained them of color. It's a two-color photo, and we use metallic ink for Otsuichi, so it looks silvery in person, so that when you see it on a bookstore, on a dump, it shines. So it catches your eye as you walk by it. And when you're 50 feet away, you can see it says Goth and Otsuichi in it, and you don't have to guess and wonder what it's going to be about. It tells you it's sort of a dark thriller. It's about a small town in Japan that has way too many serial killers for that size of its town. And this one girl here, who, they just love her. They keep trying to kill her, but she has a friend who's also a serial killer and a detective, and he keeps saving her. And it's a very strange, weird book, and it sold a lot of copies for us. And it was $15. And the most expensive thing was metallic ink for the print copy, which is like another 2.5 cents per book. But it also worked, and we do this all the time. You know, we put up, we get a cover, or we say, okay, shrink it down. Smaller. And I put up my phone saying, make it look like it's on my phone. Because people buy it on the phone too, not just your laptop where it's like this, it's on your phone where it's like this, where it's the true thumbnail, the truly the size of the thumbnail. We also have a small charred face here, which we spent a couple bucks on. We bought $300 for that face that you can see, and we missed it up a little bit more because it was not unique. That is, there'll be other books with that face on there at some point, so we changed it a little bit so you wouldn't see. And then, instead of using a font, that's my hand. A small chart face is written in my hand. And that saved us a lot of money. And but the one up top here, Harmony, cost us zero, except for the fact that we're salaried employees. It's a pink cover with basically the combination of a fallout shelter and biohazard sign. It's the woman's restroom logo symbol three times wrapped around one head, and all the little code you might be able to see if you look closely at it is basically the code from our website, the HTML from our website that we just paste in the back to give it some texture. And that cost us zero money, which when you have a profit and loss sheet where, oh, this book might make $1,000, oh, but we spent $1,100 on the cover, so it makes no money, it makes a big difference. So even commercial publishers do sometimes say, "We have here's your budget, $50, or here's your budget, it's nothing but your time, and you got to come up with something," and you can. So what you really should be thinking about is hiring expertise, as opposed to having a great artist paint something for you, or having really expensive cover images. Because even we do it in major publishers or semi-major publishers. So I'd also like to talk about now about the importance of cover art. Because in the mainstream trade, cover art's extremely important. People walk into stores, they see a spine or they see a cover, and they go, "Oh!" This is not the case with Amazon. People don't go through Amazon looking for a great cover. They don't stumble upon cover. How about now? Oh, great. This is just a bum one, all right. But Amazon does word search. You might see on Amazon these days a weird trend toward subtitles that are not on the cover. It'll be some title, and a subtitle will be a thrilling mystery or an exciting erotic thriller. Because people go online and say, "I want to read an exciting erotic thriller," and they type that into Amazon, and it pops up. But then you have five or six of those exciting erotic thrillers, and then you have to choose. So the cover serves a different purpose. So for you all who've self-published or who've helped people self-publish, when you choose a cover, what are you looking for to make them grab it? What's between the bad and the good for you? Not just the things we're talking about, the generic stuff, like five good covers that have big images and big words and few fonts. What's the one that makes you go, "Aha, this is the one that's going to sell me books"?
I think it's the branding of the book. For instance, in our books, it's the font and the rhythm strip, the light, and bone slice or bone dry. Just that alone will tell you. And they're all some kind of bone something. They're all thrillers, every one. And so I think it's the branding of the book that and I disagree with you. I think readers do. On Amazon, they do want a good cover. They really do. They want to feel like they got a book, even though they're getting an e-book. Yeah. So I think that's important. And that's what I look for when we do our covers. I look for that pop out.
Well, where to begin? I think in terms of what I think people should be looking at, it's definitely the branding that Bette mentioned, and it's definitely the thing Maddie mentioned about it must immediately communicate the genre, or preferably even in the case of Amazon, subgenre that this book is. And that's where I think actually my covers actually fail. I like my covers, but I'm doing stuff that's, I think that they succeed as branding, they don't succeed in the other sense. And it's because I do stuff that crosses genre and is kind of quirky, and it's a hard sell in general. So what I'm communicating more is that this stuff's a little quirky and it's fun. And I think that comes across. Are you going to look at them and necessarily know exactly what genre or subgenre they fall into? You know, probably not. I'll say something that's going to be controversial, perhaps. I will disagree with Bette. Here's what I'll say is, because I write one series that is sort of quasi-Western. They're Western mysteries. And I have spent a fair amount of time looking at Amazon's Western bestsellers, ebooks, because I'm just sort of exploring that market. Is that a way I want to go? I could kind of go off in that direction. Might be fun. I don't know. The covers that dominate the Amazon bestseller list for ebooks are terrible. Terrible. Check them out. They're awful. And I can only assume that they're selling like hotcakes because they have identified an audience and they are giving, and they all look the same. And so they've identified an audience that knows if I see X kind of cover, you know, with the title is in a certain font and there's a cowboy, maybe a gun, and it's 99 cents, that's the book for me. So you can do well with your audience as long as your cover is merely telling them this is the thing you're looking for. And then the rest of it, the aesthetics of it, is more just sort of us wanting to do good work and us wanting to be proud of what we're doing. So you have to decide for yourselves how proud you want to be of your own cover. But if your goal is to like sell books like hotcakes, well, you should look at the book you've written, look at similar books. And again, because we're talking about ebooks and self-publishing, I'm assuming we're talking a lot about Amazon. Look at the, find the charts for your subcategory and see what the popular books look like. And I'm not telling you that you have to do like a knockoff, but just keep it in mind. Keep it in mind that there are a lot of people who will buy something that looks like that, and that is actually close to what you have written.
Okay, now I get to agree with, I disagree with Steve. yeah, no, I agree with a lot of what you said, and I want to say something about your cover. The quirkiness that you said, it does express quirkiness. That font that uses in the word deer, that's a quirky kind of font. And to, a lot of people love, like me, love quirky books. So I think that is like its own little subgenre of mystery is the quirky one. And I think your cover is lovely. The other thing I like is that it has, it says mysteries here. This won't be able to be seen on Amazon, but that doesn't matter. If you're going to buy a book, normally you'll click on it. Obviously you want it first people to click on it first. But once they click on it, they're going to be able to read that it's a mystery. And I think that these small things like this and this and on Bette's, this right here, that shows people that it's more of a professional cover. It may not be visible at small, so when I tell you to look at it small, that doesn't mean you have to be able to read everything. It just means that the big stuff needs to be readable, but you want the little stuff on there too. It makes the cover look professional. Oh gosh, you said something else that was so important, and that was the only thing I don't agree is that I know. Okay, so who gets BookBub? Who does BookBub on there? All right. Okay, so BookBub is the thing where you get like 10 books in your email and one email and the BookBub. Have you ever noticed that they like do these weird things, like where if the word thief is in one, it's suddenly in two or three of the other books on there? It's so weird. The other thing is that you will see that freaking forest picture, the little figure walking through the forest. I'm so sick of the figure walking through the forest. So yes, there are books that will sell, like the cover, you see it over and over. No, this must be a good one. I hate that duplication stuff, and I think you should stay away from the duplication. And because you know what? You might pick it up the first time, and then you read it, and it's a terrible book. So you're not going to pick it up again. I mean, another one that's similar to it. I think you want to be unique, you want to be strong, you want to have good contrast, but the most important thing, absolutely across the board, I don't care who you are, what kind of writer you are, make it look professional. Don't put a cover up there that looks sucky. Don't do it. I don't care if it only costs $10. Don't do it. Spend the little bit of extra money and get yourself a good cover. Either do it yourself, there's lots and lots of hints online, or hire somebody to do it. Lots and lots of good people do it, and you can do it yourself. Oh, wait. Oh, can I say one more thing? So, Nick's goth. Yeah. This right here, the way he said he had combined two images, I do that all the time, and it makes it look so much more professional to not just take one image off Shutterstock, but combine them. So don't try and do your own cover without buying yourself Photoshop or some other program that you can do a little bit of cool stuff. So there's so much stuff you can do on your own, but do it well.
Is that one next to you work, Maddie?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Does it work? Yeah.
Okay, great. So we have two. So you, that'll be that side. This will be this side. So one thing that I see you. You can rest. We'll get to you. That keeps coming up is that what's your model going to be? Is your model going to be what's famous on Amazon already, or is your model going to be New York? So those seem to be the two questions you have, you know, or the two possibilities that exist. And it's interesting to talk about Westerns, because Westerns, you know, especially not a genre in New York anymore. They've destroyed the Western. And one reason why they destroyed the Western is because they used the same cover over and over again. People couldn't tell the difference between one Western and another. Richard Wheeler, the famous Western author, always complained that, I didn't have anybody shoot a gun in my books, and there was the gun being fired. I didn't have a girl hanging on to a cowpoke, and there was a girl hanging on to a cowpoke. And he was one of the last surviving Western authors who can actually get a book published in New York by Tor, by, you know, Fawcett or Zebra or something. And if you look at Westerns now, it's all William Johnstone and Zane Grey reprints and house names, and that's gone. So one reason why Westerns sell without great covers is because New York trained people to expect no cover from a Western. Yeah. And science fiction is broadly similar. If you have a spaceship on the cover, well, there's plenty of spaceship art you can buy, and it kind of all looks the same, except that they choose the wrong font. There's a font called Cyber, and it sounds good. It actually looks terrible. It's a font you might use for a toy, and I can always sell a self-published science fiction novel because they always cyber as their fonts. And nobody in New York uses that font. It only means self-published. Exactly, yeah, similar, broadly similar to that sort of thing, yeah.
I'd like to just jump in and follow up on something you just said, because I just had a little brainstorm, and maybe it explains, and this is maybe getting a little off track of the conversation at hand, but it maybe explains why those covers I see when I look at the Western bestseller charts on Amazon are so terrible, and it's because, as you exactly just said, and you were totally right, New York abandoned that market.
Yeah.
New York said, this isn't cool. We're too cool for this shit.
Yeah.
So we're not going to put those books out anymore. No one's interested in it. But the readers are still out there.
Yep.
There are a lot of them still out there. And they're so desperate for the kind of fun reading that they love, they'll buy some. Maybe it's not so much that they don't care that it has a terrible cover. It might just be that's what they have to buy in order to get the content they want. And maybe the lesson just to learn from that is the importance of niche marketing and figuring out who your audience is and giving them a good cover, and then you'll be in business.
So I saw a couple of hands up, but let's first see people who have not spoken already. So I see over, we will get to everybody, but we'll go to you, and then baseball cap, then you and you. Okay. No problem. These will be fast questions, fast answers. Go ahead.
Yes. Lightning round.
Super fast question. Where's a good place to buy fonts? I'd say that my favorite is dafont.com, dafont.com. It's free. Tons and
dafont.com. There's other ones, but that's my favorite. You just put in, you can even put in like Gothic or whatever, and a bunch of them will pop up, and they're free and great.
And don't use the first one you find. Ball cap. Okay. Skull cap. Yes. Yeah.
During the break, I was talking to Steve. I think the language that we were talking about, the historical context, has something to do with what our eyes want to see. If most of us here are in our, what was the meeting, 45 or whatever you said, that we're going to be looking like, if you're still interested in going back to the way things were, cowboys and Indians, you're going to want a certain kind of cover that designates that type of cowboy or gun or whatever that's. People in mid-range age right now are going back to read historical texts. And so I like all those covers, but I can see that they tell me about a time. So if you're also, I make connections with everything I see. And so I'm into language and the visual. So I connect the two and I can tell you why somebody would choose that as a into what you're going to read. Something like that.
It's not just, we were all, and maybe me too much, was emphasizing like subgenre, but the vibe of the book, obviously, and sort of, is it a fresh field, is it an older field, is whatever, that has to be communicated visually too.
Hard Case Crime is a great example of that. They use that kind of retro pulp look for both their reprints and for their new books. Okay, curious guy who keeps asking questions, yes.
Nick, you'll be shocked to hear you speak too fast.
Yeah.
You said something that's extremely important. You said it very quickly. I'm going to ask you,
sure.
I think many people would benefit if you could elaborate on the point you made, and that is, what is your prospective reader typing into the Amazon search bar before they see your cover? They won't see your cover unless you know what they're typing. Would you elaborate? That's a brilliant point, Nick. Would you elaborate on that?
Well, basically, bookstores work by, covers work in bookstores because you see a cover and say, oh, this looks interesting. Or you even see a spine and say, this looks interesting, you pull it off the shelf. And Amazon, there's no shelf, there's no real browse. There's no random selection of choices. So the search parameters you choose create the results. So you might type in bestseller. You might type in evocative thriller. You might type in an author name, more likely than not. And so what you see is highly limited by those initial choices. So I'd strongly recommend for cover art, this is relation to cover artists, titles and subtitles and metadata. So if you have this, a cover like Someone to Watch Over Me, do you know how many novels are named Someone to Watch Over Me? About 14, 15. I'm doing a book with Tor right now. They want to call it Sabbath. I said there were 9 books named Sabbath. 3 of them came out in the last 3 years. We have to call it something else. And I'm telling Tor this, so that's disappointing. So be sure to use your cover art not just as art, but as a way to process information for Amazon's algorithms. And certain things you can leave off the cover that you can put in the metadata, like these blurbs. I put those blurbs on the cover for bookstores, and for Amazon, I put them in the editorial topic at the bottom. So when someone types in scary vampire or vampire monster or vampire diverse, it pops up. So not everything need be on the cover anymore because Amazon and other sites bring you the possibility of getting more secret information that doesn't need to be on the cover. So your cover's going to be simpler now than they were in New York days. Okay, one last one. Please be a question, not a comment. Yes. Yes, generic keywords it is.
That's it,
yeah. Illustrators do not read books.
Okay. As an illustrator, you produce an image, where does your responsibility end? Especially in printed books, does it go somewhere for technical stuff, or do you do that part of it, or do you just help?
So the question is, when the illustrator goes to the illustration, then what happens?
Yeah.
All sorts of things could possibly happen. Certainly at my company, we've done things like cut things in half, change the colors, change characters around to make the font fit and to make the cover fit and to make it cheap to print. So illustration is very much work for hire. It can be chopped to pieces. So don't get married to your illustrations. I think that's our time, and probably a few minutes more, but it's okay. Talk to y'all soon. Thanks. Bye.